Okay, good morning. Thank you, Pastor Kevin, for the warm welcome. I definitely feel warm because my heart is beating about 2,000 beats per minute. Thank you. It's a great honor and privilege to be here to share the Word of God to you today. As Pastor Kevin has said, it is our second last Sunday here in this building. And it is probably my first time you guys have ever heard me speak as well. And could be my last if I speak heresy today. I'm sure that God will speak through me today, and that is my hope. And my hope is that you guys will be able to see the wonder and the beauty and the power of Jesus today, and will be able to maybe even be restored, or maybe even come closer to a relationship with Him. And that's my hope today. And so before we begin, how about I just say a word of prayer and just invite the Spirit in here. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for this beautiful church that we are in here today. Southside is just so beautiful. It's so diverse, and it's just amazing to see that many people from different countries, different languages come together to congregate and to learn more about you, to have fellowship with each other, and to worship you, God. And I just pray, Lord, that today that people will be able to see your Son, Jesus Christ, and how powerful He really is, and how much He loves us, and how He defends for us as well. And so we thank you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so the topic today is Defender. And so before I begin, I love to share stories. And if you're one of my youth kids, you know I love to share stories. I can share stories for about 20 minutes if I wanted to. But I'm going to try and make this as quick as possible. So during school, I loved to play rugby league. And if you know me, when it's state of origin or when the international teams are playing, I am crazy for it. And so I used to love playing rugby league, and I used to play a position which was the hooker. And so the reason why I loved playing that was because I loved tackling. My greatest ability was defense. And so when people saw me, I was probably about this tall. Okay, people went, "We're gonna run at that little guy." But little did I know, I love to tackle, and I just went, "Come on, bring it on," and I would just smash them, and it was fun, and I loved it. You know, it's like a little Asian rice bag jumping in front of a 100-kilogram person. And so when I got to year 11, everyone got jacked, everyone got really big, and I was probably about 50 kilos, and everyone went up to about 110, and I was like, "I'm not playing anymore," so I decided to play touch football. And so I love touch football as well, because as I said, I just love defending. And so we were going to the grand finals, and we beat this team before, and I went, "This team, last time we beat them like 5-0, what is there to lose?" And I just thought, you know, I was a bit boastful, I was a bit cocky, and I was like, you know, this is going to be an easy game for us. And so everyone's pumped, like, "Oh yeah, Daniel, how you feeling?" I'm like, "Oh, you know, we beat them easy last time, so it shouldn't be a drama." And so when we hopped into the bus and when we got off, I looked in my bag and I forgot my football boots. And I went, "Oh, you're kidding. We're going to die." And so this is what I had to run in. All right. My coach said to me, "We can't afford for you not to play this game. This is the grand final." I went, "Coach, it's either bare shoes, it's bare feet, or it's these shoes." And he said, "You're playing with these shoes, because we aren't allowed to play without shoes in sports. So I had to wear these shoes." And you should have seen me. I would have been good at playing soccer if I wore these shoes, because I was just sliding everywhere I went. And we actually lost that game, and it was quite embarrassing because I just literally had no defense. I had nothing going for me. And it was just so embarrassing. And everyone was just like, "Daniel, you know you lost us the game." I'm like, "Yeah, I know. So the moral of the story, always be prepared, all right? Never leave your football boots at home. All right, and so today I'm going to go through a story in the Bible that shows that how Jesus defended and how he defends us and others. And so if we go, I've actually got it on the screen here. It's pretty small, I didn't realize. Okay, but I will just read it out to you guys anyway, and if you can follow on, please do. Okay, so Luke chapter 8, verse 26 to 39. They sailed to the region of Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want from me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. Okay. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went to the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw that what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town of the countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. All right. That's quite a big verse to take in, but I'm going to narrow things down into five things, okay? Five things to capture from this, five truths to capture and to understand. Okay, so in Luke chapter 8, verse 28, I'm going to read this. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." And so a lot of people would say, you know, when we ask, "Oh, who do you believe Jesus is?" A lot of people say, "Oh, he was just a good man." Or some people would say, he's a prophet. Or some people would say, "Oh, he was one of the angels that was sent from above." But I want you to understand this fact. The demon knew exactly who Jesus was. And so what does this prove? And what does this say to us? It says, talks about Jesus' divinity, okay? Because number one, the demon comes. He cried out, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" How would he have known this? Do you think that he would have seen Jesus when he was conceived through Mary? No, it's because he knew Jesus from the very beginning. And so when we look at here, we look at John 1:1. And it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And when we understand this, the Word in reference is actually Jesus. So when we put it in this form, "In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God." And so we see here that when Jesus created everything, he created the angels. And the angels knew very well who Jesus was. They knew very, very well. And so this next part here is what I love. And people say, "No, but Jesus can't be God. He can't be God." But what do we see next? What we see next is that the demon falls to his knees. And he bows down to Jesus. And he, what does he do? He begs Jesus. And so when we look at another verse, we also look at, it's in Philippians, it's in Romans 14:11 and Isaiah 45. It says here in Philippians that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we see here that demons bow down to Jesus because they know how powerful he is. They have to. They have no choice. And that's the power of Jesus. And that proves his divinity, that every knee shall bow. And you know, one day, when we see Jesus, we will all bow down to him because of his majesty, because of his power. And so we can see here that Jesus, we can see that Jesus' divinity is seen here, okay? And so, that is number one. Number two, and I love this one. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go to the abyss. And so what does it say here about Jesus? First of all, Jesus has high authority, very high authority. When Jesus says something, they must answer. And when he answered to the name, it said legion. So does anyone know what legion means? Legion actually means an army. So you imagine an army of demons within this person. And when I'm speaking army, I'm speaking either 600 to thousands of demons. And so Jesus shows his authority by talking to the demon and asking him to reveal himself, and also shows his authority by, of course, when he bows, the demon bows down to him as well. So demons knew exactly what power and authority that Jesus possessed. And so they were so scared, get this, they were so scared of Jesus that they knew that he had this power to be able to send them to the abyss. And if you know what the abyss is, it's a contained, confined area where they can't get out, okay? And that is where hell is. And the demons, they knew, this is a scary thing. We don't even want to go there. And so can you imagine what Jesus is feeling about us? He doesn't want us to go there because he knows that the demons know how scary this place is. And the demons didn't even want to be there. So they wanted to occupy people and this land, this earth, so that they didn't have to be trapped in this confined space forever. And so repeatedly they asked Jesus, please don't take us down there. Please don't take us down there. And so they knew exactly that Jesus had the power to send. Jesus had the power to take them wherever he wants. And so here, that was a verse. It says here in Peter, 1 Peter 4:5, it says, but they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. And that also applies to us. And so when we're looking at this, into this next part, Luke chapter 8, verse 32 to 33. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demon begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down a steep bank into the lake and was drowned. And so you're probably thinking here, why pigs? You know, why did Jesus do that to pigs? If you're an animal activist here, I'm so sorry, because this would really hurt you. But, you know, you may think, man, why? Why did Jesus do this? Doesn't he care for the animals? Why did he do this? And so, this comes to point number three. Human life is valuable to Jesus. And why would I say that? Why would we say that? You look at this, all right? In Matthew, chapter 6, verse 26, it says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, reap, or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than them? Jesus loves you guys so much. He loves you guys so, so much. And I just love the fact that he puts this picture in our minds. And when you look at this, okay, so Jesus cares about you more than anything, that he'd rather lose 62,000 pigs for your single soul. And that's the way we got to see this part of the scripture here, that Jesus was willing to let go what he loved. Yes, he loves animals for you, for your soul. And that's what happened with the demon-possessed man. He said, you know, I love this demon-possessed man. He may be possessed, but I care for his soul. And number four is sin has to be punished. Sin cannot get away without being punished. And it's funny because, you know, the demon said, please don't take us to the abyss. Please don't take us there. And Jesus goes, oh, okay. Well, what other option do you have? And they said, well, send us to the pigs. Send us to the pigs. And Jesus goes, all right, well, if you want that, then you can have that. But little did they know that they wouldn't be able to be contained within the pigs. The demons didn't know that they would not be compatible inside the pigs. And so what actually happened was they went into the pigs and they went a little psycho. They tried to run around their tails and they fell down a cliff and they drowned. And Jesus was saying, well, you said just to go down the pigs, so I ordered you to go down the pigs. But they didn't know that that was going to happen. So Jesus said, sin has to be punished. And what happened to the demons? They went to the abyss. Okay. And so, number five is this. So those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. And so you think, but he just casted out all these demons. Why would people be scared? You may think, it doesn't make sense. You know, if I saw someone that was chained and someone who was able to break those chains and destroy this whole city, I would be glad that he would be healed and that the demons were gone. But everyone was scared. And you may think, why were they so scared? It's because the people feared the wrath of Jesus. When they saw the power that he possessed, they were scared because the demons had no match for him. And so, in Romans 1:18, it says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godliness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by the wickedness. And so this place in Gerasenes was actually a place full of Gentiles, people who didn't believe in God and people who were not Jews. And so you automatically can see that they were a rebellious town because who... If you understand the Jews back in the Jewish culture, they did not herd pigs. Why? Because pigs were seen as the dirtiest, dirtiest, dirtiest animals that you could ever have. And here in Gerasenes, they're herding pigs, which means that they are a rebellious town. They probably knew about this tradition about not having pigs, but they rebelled and they were like, you know, but pigs are so yummy. I love eating pork. And so they just continued to do it. And so, but the main message that Jesus was trying to convey was that he loved everyone. He loved the Gentiles, okay? He loved the Gentiles. He wanted to create a culture which they would come to repentance. He wanted to show them that, yes, Jesus has the power. Yes, Jesus has the power to cause wrath, but Jesus has the power to save as well. And when he did it, he did the saving power, and he showed that while he casted the demons out of the demon-possessed man and saying to the Gentiles, you can be saved as well. You can be defended. And he had to show that with the pigs drowning, that the wrath of God was true. And if they don't repent, that is the same thing that would happen with them. They will lose their souls. And so Jesus says that sin has to be punished. And he wanted the Gentiles to repent and to turn away from the wickedness which they suppressed the truth. And now you may be asking, great story, Daniel, but how is Jesus our defender? How is he our defender? And so I want to go back into this verse here. In Luke chapter 8, verse 32 to 33. How it talks about Jesus casting the demons into the pigs. What we need to understand here is very important. That with the spirits, with the evil spirits, what actually happens is, if they are not cast out and sent to the abyss, they need to find another host. And we see here in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 to 45, and let me read this out to you if you can't see. And this is what Jesus says. When an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits, more wicked than itself, and then go in and live there. And the final condition of the person is worse than the first. That is how it will be with the wicked generation. This is huge. You see, the demons, they need another host. And if they can't find another host, they come back to that same body, even stronger, even hungrier. And this is what would have happened to that demon-possessed man. He would have probably got rid of some demons, but he left himself open for other demons to come in. But why did this happen? Because he didn't have something. He didn't have a clean spirit. He didn't have the Holy Spirit, which was living in him, to be able to defend for him. So therefore, he left himself open. And I want to share a little story about me. When I first experienced God, I was so scared. I came to my knees, I trembled. And I said, God, if this is who I really am and I'm really that disgusting, I need to get rid of this. I need to get rid of all this sin and all these temptations out of my life. And so I let go of all the drug addictions. I let go of all my alcoholic. I let go of all these different things. And I cleared myself. I cleared myself from all the unclean things. But do you know what happened? I left myself open. I didn't allow the Holy Spirit to come into me. I didn't pray for the Spirit to come and defend for me and to live in me. And what happened was the temptations, they came even stronger and stronger. And I found myself, even when I knew that God was real, I found myself knocking on people's doors who owed me money. So you owe me money. You better give me the money now. And I fell into that deep trap. I fell into such a deep trap that it was almost like the weight of sin and I could feel the weight of the temptations heavier and heavier on me. But it wasn't until I asked the Holy Spirit to come into me. And when I said, Jesus, I want to give my life to you, he was able to really, really empty my whole heart to allow him in it. And there's something which is, there's something that we shouldn't forget as well. When we allow Jesus into our heart, we must pursue him. We can't just go, yeah, Jesus, come to my heart. Yeah, boom, done, I'm good. I'm going to go to heaven. No, there's an aspect of a constant relationship with him. Yeah, you know why they say walking with the Lord? Because they say, well, you have to walk with the Lord because it's a constant walk. And you know when you're walking, you can walk at a constant rate. When you're running, you get tired. And so we don't want to run with the Lord. We want to actually walk with the Lord because it's a constant walking with the Lord, hearing from him, allowing us to breathe and to immerse ourselves in the gospel. And so, in this part here, and you're probably still thinking, man, Jesus is still cruel though. Like the pigs. Come on. Come on. He killed so many pigs. We love pigs. I mean, some pigs are just so cute. And I love them. But Jesus saw that you were more valuable than that. Okay? And he knew that if he did not send the demons into the pigs, they would have found another host to occupy. And so he said, there has to be an end to this. So I will send them to the pigs, and it will cause them to drown themselves and be sent straight to the abyss. And that is the power of God. And that is the power that they were so scared of. They were so scared of seeing how much power that Jesus possessed, and that Jesus had the power to be able to send demons down there. If Jesus has the power to send demons down there, then he also has the right and the authority to do whatever he pleases with us if we don't believe in him. And so I really want to share another story relating to this topic here. When I just came back from a mission trip in Thailand, and we were at the House of Hope, and we actually got the privilege to baptize 4 young people. And it was just so beautiful. And I loved hearing the testimonies after they were baptized. And there was this one girl who really struck a nerve in me. And I really just felt in love with God because he truly was my defender. And so, if you understand this, I'll share a bit about the Hmong culture. And the Hmong culture goes like this. When you are born, you have a new baby. What the Hmong people do is they believe in this faith, which is called shamanism. And so when you are born, you dedicate your child to the witch doctor to invite the ancestors to come inside of the baby to protect them for as long as they live. Okay? And so you got to understand that pretty much every Hmong child who is not born in a Christian family or who is not, of course, Christian, has this. They have this evil spirit which remains in them. And the beautiful thing was this young girl who said, you know, I want to believe in Jesus. Because of what the House of Hope has given me. Because of what the House of Hope has given me hope in a Savior which loves me, which cares for me, which protects me in every single way. And so when she decided to become a believer, she knew that she had to go to the next process, which was to be baptized. And so in the Hmong culture, and you guys may think, you know, baptism is just a symbol. Yeah, it's just a symbol of our of our love for Christ and proclaiming that we believe in Jesus. But for the Hmong people, it's something much more. It's pretty much saying to your parents, Mom and Dad, you know that I love you, but I'm going to rip this altar down in front of you. And that's what it is. And the Hmong people are so scared to get baptized for this reason. Because they know that their mom and dad spent so much money to be able to invite the spirit into them. They loved them so much that they really wanted them to be protected, but they just didn't know that this protection was from an evil spirit. And so it's pretty much saying, yeah, mom, thanks for that. I don't care. I'm going to follow this white man who people call Jesus. And so this really breaks the heart of the Hmong people. And so she said to us in her testimony, when she believed in Jesus, she wanted to be baptized. And when she said to her parents, Mom and Dad, I've received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I'm going to get baptized. Do you know what they did to her? They grabbed her by the hand. They dragged her to the witch doctors to try and get that, to try and get the spirit out of her. And she was so scared at the time, but she was so comforted at the same time too, she said. And so when this witch doctor performed the ritual on her, they performed it for hours and hours and hours, and they come to the point where they said, we cannot get the spirit out of her. There is something which is so powerful, which is not allowing us to get the spirit out of her. And she knew that this was the Holy Spirit that was living in her. She knew that there was this spirit that was defending her, and that was Jesus. And so I want to encourage you guys today that the devil has no foothold of us when we believe in Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ really is our defender. And that's a true testament of the power of Jesus Christ. And so what I want to leave with you guys today is this. And I love this Bible verse in Psalms. I absolutely love it because it teaches me and encourages me to not fear the devil's work, to not be able to fear death. And we know that for a fact that many people in this world, when you ask them, what do you fear the most? And they say is death. They say separation from my family, separation from my friends. And they know for a fact. But let me tell you this verse, and I want it to encourage you. I wanted to give you complete confidence. And it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And I want to put it in this way, and I want to paint a picture for you guys. This means so much to me because when I go through hardships and when I feel that the devil is attacking me, do you know what happens? Jesus prepares a banquet for me. He prepares a banquet. And when the devil comes and he comes with his big arms, he's like, oh, that's the banquet of victory. Jesus prepares the banquet of victory for me in front of my enemies. And he goes, Daniel, come sit down. Come and eat with me. Come and dine with me. And we know that we see so many times in the Bible, in the scripture, that it says that Jesus, when he finally takes us back home, we will receive a banquet. But I'm telling you today, you receive a banquet here on earth. You receive it on earth. And that's so beautiful that Jesus defends us in this way. And he says, devil, don't you even dare cross this line. You know you've been defeated. You know that through the power and the works of the cross and through his resurrection, you know you have no place to be here. This is the victory table. You don't belong here. And that's the confidence that Jesus gives me. And I want to encourage you guys that that's the confidence that he gives you guys as well when you guys believe in him. We are victorious in the name of Jesus. He is our defender against the enemy. The beautiful thing and the most powerful thing is that Jesus just did not defeat our sin, but he defeated what the world fears the most, and that is death. And we being here today know that death is the ultimate kick in the betweens because it separates us from our children. It separates us from our families, from our friends, the ones that we love the most. But the promise of Jesus says that if you believe, and that if the closest ones to you believe as well, you will never be separated from each other. You will have eternal life in the place of the kingdom of heaven. And I want to encourage you guys with that. That Jesus is our victory. He is our defender. And once we understand that, there's nothing that can separate us. And so here today, if you have received Christ and you don't feel that burning desire to want to walk with him daily and to immerse yourself in the word. I really want you guys to reflect on that and to reevaluate where you stand in your faith, because it's so important. It's so important. As we have seen and what we have heard through the scripture today, that if we clean our bodies out, and if we don't immerse ourselves with the Holy Spirit, we don't fill our tank with the gospel and with prayer and with solitude time with God, what happens is it gives room for the devil to throw in temptations, to throw in sin. And we can't let that happen. And so we as Christians need to constantly be immersing ourselves in the scripture, be surrounded by people who are like-minded like us, who love each other, who come to church, who serve. We must be doing these kind of things. And so, that's what I want to leave with you guys today. That Jesus really, truly is our true defender. He defends us in every single way. And when you are scared, and when you are in fear, I want you guys to remember that Jesus, he's already won the battle for us. He's victorious. And because of that, he makes us victorious as well. Let me pray for us. Jesus, we thank you for your love. And that, Lord, we have seen that each and every single soul is so precious to you. It's so precious that it's that you sacrifice 62,000 animals in the place of us. But that's not the only beautiful thing, Lord. It's that you sacrifice your one and only Son for us to die in our place so that we didn't have to feel that. We didn't have to go through that. And we thank you, God. And it's not anything that we've done, but it's completely what you've done, Lord. And we just thank you. And we thank you, that Lord, that when we are in fear and when we stumble and when we fall, you remind us that you have already won the battle for us, that you are our defender. And so, Father, I just pray, Lord, that for each and every single one of us today, may we take hold of these truths and may we really apply it in our lives. And just see how powerful you are and how beautiful your love is for us, God. And so we just thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.